Congressman Nick Laneworthy. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Great to be back with you.
Congressman, before we get to the VA, I want to ask your thoughts on Mayor Byron Brown. He is set to accept a position with the OTB. Your thoughts on that and his time as mayor of Buffalo?
I think Mayor Brown has had quite a run as the leader of the city. I mean, he's the longest tenured mayor. He certainly deserved a next step in his career, and I wish him all the best.
Do you think that there, obviously, the president of the Common Council will take over. Do you think that there is a Republican that could run for mayor competitively in the city of Buffalo?
Well, it's always been a challenge for Republicans in an 8.5-to-1 Democrat city to, you know, be competitive. As you know, I was Erie County Republican chairman for years, and it was a challenge, you know, to find someone to run a competitive race. I mean, I think that there'll certainly be a lot of interest. This is the first time we've had an open mayoralty in a very long time. So I would say those are great questions for our new great chairman, Michael Crocker, who, he's going to be on the recruitment mission, I'm sure.
Now, Congressman, we talked with you about the issues at the VA, and now you are calling on an investigation. Tell us about it.
Well, I immediately called on an investigation. I mean, this was brought to my attention by the House Veterans Affairs Committee back in August. We heard that there was backlogs, specifically in the community care department, which is the agency within the VA that refers patients that can't be treated at the VA that need to go out to other hospitals such as ECMC or Roswell Park Cancer Institute, that there were massive delays in 3 to 4 dozen cases. This report from the Inspector General, came out on Friday. You know, after I issued the letter calling on the VA to do an investigation, they immediately relieved the director of the hospital and his chief of staff of duties. They sent an interim director in from Finger Lakes VA, and, you know, the hospital's under new management. I think I have since toured the hospital. I think that I've had, you know, direct conversations with the undersecretary of Veterans Affairs, and I know that they are clearing out the backlogs that exist, but there was community care department. It's horrific. The report is a terrible read, and, you know, I urge, you know, anyone to take a look at that. I mean, but we had cancer patients waiting 9-10 weeks for treatment, you know, someone that needed radiation therapy to, you know, ease the pain in their end of life was denied that care because of negligence and an inability to schedule the appointment. It's a totally disgusting, gross negligence that occurred in this department, and it was because those people weren't properly managed. You know, we've got a few bad apples here in the bushel at the Buffalo VA. I think it's important that we don't vilify the facility. When I was there, I found, you know, healthcare providers that are doing God's work every day, trying to help our veterans. The veterans in my district largely enjoy and really appreciate the care that they get at the Buffalo VA. But we have a personnel problem and a management problem, and those directors and administrators that were relieved cannot go back to patient-facing positions. They've shown their incompetence. They've shown their inability to do their jobs, and now this goes from an investigator general's report to a disciplinary action report based on my conversations with the undersecretary, who will be in Buffalo at the VA on Monday. And I think it's really important that they clean house in that community care division. We get people that are actually focused on doing their jobs, doing it effectively, efficiently, and immediately. Get new leadership into this hospital that on a permanent basis that absolutely knows what they're doing and brings a world-class culture of care for our veterans. What has happened at the Buffalo VA has created a gap in trust going forward. And it's cast a dark cloud over the institution, and that should not be the case. And we can never let this happen again. So I'm going to spend all of my time in Congress, focused on the Buffalo VA and the entire VA system across my district to make sure that these facilities are working properly. They need congressional oversight. I'm a member of the House Oversight Committee that has oversight jurisdiction over every department in the federal government. And I'm certainly going to use every tool in my arsenal to ensure that's going to happen.
You mentioned cleaning house. So as of right now, are there still people involved that were directly or indirectly responsible for those VA patients that were, waiting weeks for necessary treatment?
Well, this has been a very swift process. I mean, this report comes back a little ahead of schedule. I was very pleased that the inspector general came back before October, which is when we expected it. And now the disciplinary findings will come forward. These employees do have due process. This is the due process. And now the disciplinary recommendations will come down from the undersecretary to determine their fate. And it is my hope, and I've expressed to the undersecretary, and I will continue to do that when he's here for his visit, that they need to clean out any bad actors, anyone that's got wrongdoing or negligence on their portfolio. They don't deserve to have jobs like this. And that's where we need more accountability, more action, and swift management decisions. The explanations given by the director, the chief of staff, they were bogged down, their inbox was full. I mean, it's just BS. I mean, these people are paid to do a job. They are there to ensure that the veterans that, heroically served our country, that put their lives on the line, get the care that they need and they deserve. And there was no transparency with the patients and the family. I find that just horrific and unacceptable by any metric. And I do believe that there will be swift disciplinary action. Let's face it, I'm a conservative Republican, and the undersecretary serves an administration that's liberal Democrat. I do believe that the undersecretary wants to do the right thing. I think they've been extremely cooperative and transparent with me and my office, and we've developed a nice working relationship. He seems to be a man of action, and I appreciate that, and we are going to see this to the end.
Let me ask you, so for VA patients that are there today that need care, right now, the care is where it needs to be, in your opinion?
My understanding, the day I toured the hospital, there was about 100 patient backlog in the community care office. The undersecretary assures me as of Friday, when we talked before the report came out, that they are well on their way to clearing that backlog. And this is simply a scheduling office. This is what's so disgusting about this. It's not as though ECMC or Roswell or the other community care partners, and I've talked to those offices, it's not as though they weren't prepared to take the patients. It was someone didn't do their job. Someone was busy playing solitaire on their computer and screwing around while people suffered, while people's lives were hanging in the balance. And if someone's not prepared to do their job, they have no business working at the Buffalo VA or any VA for that matter, and they need to be terminated. And it is my hope that we will see that swift action when this disciplinary report in these decisions are made by the undersecretary in the Department of Veterans Affairs. And I will continue to push every day on that until we have that finality.
Now, Congressman, another thing that I saw you talking about this week was the southern border. We saw the vice president go to the southern border as part of a campaign stop. What's your thoughts on the current vice president trying to now say she's the one for more secure borders?
The vice president doesn't give a damn about the southern border. She's been named the border czar by the president very early in their tenure. And, this administration they made 94 separate executive actions that weakened our southern border, that decimated our southern border. And that's the reason we've had so many, up to 10 million illegal encounters have taken place at the southern border in their tenure. That's why we have these people all over the United States right now. And it's putting tremendous stress on state and local governments across this country. That's why we found out that there are so many, statistics came out this week of, you know, literally tens of thousands of known criminals entering the country. And if a criminal conducts crime in another country, they're going to bring that same culture to our country. And you're seeing that rise in crime in New York. You're seeing that rise in crime across the country, frankly. And Americans are less safe because we have people that have come into this country illegally that have nothing but idle time on their hands. They're creating, you know, petty crime. They're creating serious crime. They've created murder. The case of Lakin Riley in the state of Georgia, where, you know, beautiful young woman who was a student was murdered in cold blood by someone that didn't just slip through the cracks of the southern border, but then slipped through the cracks of New York's broken bail laws and was able to go on and move to Georgia and commit a murder just in our own backyard. We had the Buffalo office of ICE. They were responsible for taking out and apprehending someone in Broome County near Binghamton who was hiding in plain sight. Here's someone wanted for 23 murders in the country of Peru. Such a callous, cold-blooded killer that he had his victims' faces and names tattooed on his body. And this guy is sitting there hiding in plain sight in small town upstate New York. And thank God for the brave men and women at ICE. But they have a state government that won't cooperate with them because New York State, under our idiotic laws that have given driver's licenses to illegal immigrants and our sanctuary city policies, we have this this green light law has made sure that federal agencies cannot look in the New York State DMV database. So they couldn't track the cars that this guy was driving because they are prohibited from entering that database. I mean, what's wrong with this? Who are we trying to protect with these laws? We're trying to protect the criminals, the lawbreakers, and the illegal aliens. And, you know, the taxpayers be damned. This people, as they make their decision this November, have to ask the simple question of what side are you on? Clear what they're trying to pull here. There's 10 million people that have come into this country, and make no mistake, if they win the White House, if they win the House, and they have, a tie, Tim Walz gets to cast the deciding vote. They're going to get rid of the filibuster first and foremost. Then they're going to create a mass amnesty for these 10 million people and turn them into citizens and voters. They're trying to transform the country right under our nose. And it's not fair to the illegal immigration system. We're a country of immigrants. We all come from immigrants at some point. But there are people standing in line waiting for citizenship. And these people that are sneaking into this country, that are living off of our government, they're getting free health care, free housing, and free food. They are disrespecting and slapping in the face everyone that's standing in line and doing things the right way. This is disgusting. And it's got to stop. And the two paths in this country couldn't be any more clear. You know, we know what Kamala Harris has been. She has stood idly by and sat right next to Joe Biden while he signed 94 executive orders weakening our border. She's done nothing. She goes down for a 20-minute photo op the other day and claims that she's the border president. Give me a break. People are smarter than that. People know what's going on in this country. They've seen the footage. They've read the headlines. They've seen the stories. They've maybe even experienced it themselves in terms of the crime and the quality of life deterioration that we've seen in many, many communities across America. President Trump will seal the border. He will finish the wall. He will end the loopholes in the parole system. And he will make sure that we have a safe and secure border like we did the day he left office.
Congressman Nick Langworthy. Congressman, as always, thank you so much for spending some time with us this Sunday.
Thank you so much, Joe. Take care.